I think we're still waiting on some notes too, so, and maybe a few bodies. There are three classes we're still in the middle of. We have church history, systematic theology, the boss just popped his head in, and hermeneutics. So I was going to start on systematic theology, but apparently our notes aren't here yet. So, do you all have those three sets of notes? Church history, hermeneutics, systematic theology. Yeah? Okay. What'd the boss want? Okay. No word from Zane, huh? Well, I'm going to do four sessions today, and then Pastor Jure is going to take the last two. I've just been doing a lot of speaking this week, and I didn't think I could make it nine straight. So, can you tell me where we ended on church history? Let's do a session. Start with a session there. Okay. See, you didn't have a whole section. What did happen? You just take a nap?
Number three. We ended up on number three, I think.
No, I understand. Turn back a page, will you? So, Al, what happened, dude? That section just bored you, huh? You just checked out? Oh, my gosh. Funny guys. Okay, formalization of worship. Let me see if I can find it. Nothing, huh? Oh, yeah, good. I actually marked it in my notes. Great. Raymond, could you lead us in prayer? Just a quick reminder about why we're doing the church history class. There are several reasons. First of all, it becomes a foundation for understanding essential doctrines and systematic theology, because the beliefs of the church didn't develop in a vacuum. They developed in real, actual historical settings. And so to be able to grasp systematic theology, to be able to understand why we think the way we think about various topics, you have to understand the cultural and historical setting that caused those discussions to come to pass. So we look at church history primarily so we can get a foundation for understanding what we believe. But also there's a lot to learn from church history, because just about every mistake that can be made has already been made. And we can learn lessons from history so as not to make those mistakes again. It helps us to have a context for our faith, to understand where we came from, and because of where we came from, to know where we're going. So we're at the part of church history that bogs down a little bit. It gets a little discouraging. Church history starts off in kind of a blaze of excitement. There's a lot of great things happening in the beginning. And then after the Reformation starts to pick up again, but there's a period of almost 1,000 years where it can be a little discouraging. We don't make too much ground. And so we're in that period of time now as we're examining this. We're looking at Christianity in the empire from 312 to 590. 312 would be the 312 was the when Constantine defeated Maxentius at the Milvian Bridge and became the emperor of Rome, consolidated Rome. And because he had propitiated the Christian God, he issued an edict of toleration that began this union of church and state. And so it leads to the formalization of worship. The church, number one, traded the primitive simplicity. Simplicity, is that your fill-in?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you already have this?
Number four.
Oh, you're on number four?
Yep.
Oh, great, thank you. The worship saints, yeah, led to the worship of their relics. Relics were considered to possess miraculous value. They were carried about in processions and worn as amulets against disease and danger of every kind. Of course, we're aware of that here in the Philippines. I remember one of my first experiences. I hadn't been coming very long, and I went to Joseph Bonifacio's wedding, which was somewhere south of here. I'm not exactly sure. But we took the main road, S-Lex, and then got off on, and then we were back in some back roads. And we got stuck in a little village because I guess it was a feast day for a particular saint. And they were having a big parade through the city, carrying all sorts of, I guess they're relics, really, amulets and various kinds of things. So just about anything became a relic. They had bones, supposed bones of saints, and the blood and ashes and clothes and furniture. And also one of the most popular relics in the Middle Ages was a splinter from the original cross. Now, supposedly, Constantine's mother, Monica, went to Jerusalem and found the original cross. And so then they began to take little pieces off of it and sell these as relics. But they taught, and it was believed throughout the Middle Ages, that by a continuous miracle, every time they would pull a piece off of the original cross, a new piece would grow back. So it was a continuous miracle. So no matter how many shards or little pieces or splinters of the original cross, it continued to